Today's scripture reading is the traditional reading for the third week of Advent. It's when the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her that she is to bear a son, God's own son. Listen with me and hear as Mary wrestles with her own belief and how she chooses to respond to God's heavenly messenger. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our sign from heaven this morning is not a star, but an angel. A great, majestic, heavenly being that fills all who behold them with awe and wonder. He comes bearing a message and an invitation to be a part of what God is doing in the world. Imagine Mary, this young Jewish girl, probably around the age of 13 or 14, living in the small town of Nazareth outside of Galilee. She's in the middle of nowhere, really. She's engaged to be married to a fine man named Joseph. She's going about her day, her regular, ordinary sort of day, and this angel appears, interrupting Mary and whatever she's doing, laundry, sitting by the fire, knitting, spending time with family. He catches her by surprise, and his very presence fills the entire room, commanding all of her attention. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you," the angel declares. "Wow," Mary thinks, "where did that come from? Highly favored? Who, me?" Mary knows that she's nobody special, born in an ordinary town to ordinary people, no special gifts or talents that the biblical authors bothered to tell us about. Just an everyday, ordinary kind of girl that nobody ever gave a second thought to up until now. Who was she that an angel would appear to her, bearing a message from God just for her? And yet here he was, this great heavenly being, not only bearing a message, but an invitation to be a part of something new. Here, God had a special task just for Mary. Here, God declared that she was loved and chosen and highly favored in his sight, given one of the most important of tasks. Mary was greatly troubled by the angel's word, and Gabriel had to calm her down a little bit. He says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." If that wasn't startling enough, the angel goes on and says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will have no end." What a son to bear. After picking her chin off the ground, Mary has an objection. "But how?" she says. "I'm still a virgin." Mary may be young, but she knows how it works. And she questions the angel's task to her. But Gabriel has a quick response ready. He says, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even your aging relative Elizabeth, who was thought to be barren, is with child. If God can do that, he can do anything. After a pause, probably after a long pause, Mary replies, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's kind of an odd task to ask somebody to do who is called greatly favored by God. Even by today's standards, teen pregnancy is incredibly difficult. But back in Mary's day, it would have been infinitely worse. Best case scenario, Mary was looking at a life of social isolation and scorn. Worst case scenario, she'd be stoned by the villagers who raised her, because in Mary's culture, getting pregnant before you were married was a sin worthy of the death penalty. To say yes here was to give herself over to scandal, to put everything on the line, her reputation, her marriage, her very life, sacrificed for what God was asking her to do, her chosen one. Makes you wonder if Mary really knew what she was getting herself into. A popular Christmas song asks this very question, wonders what Mary really knew when she was saying yes to Gabriel's request. The song says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? We have no way of knowing for sure what Mary knew when she was caught off guard that day so many years ago when Gabriel came and filled her life and changed her life forever. But my guess is she had no idea where this adventure would take her. Certainly not to the cross, to the empty tomb. No, my guess is that she knew just enough to get started. She knew that very first step God was calling her to take. Then she jumped in with both feet. What an amazing woman and an incredible act of faith. You know, Christians have a mixed relationship with Mary. We have a different feeling about her story. Catholics tend to go all out with Mary and pray to Mary and lean on her for comfort and support. Sometimes that respect and adoration strays into worship and what a lot of Protestants would feel would be unhealthy. We, in response, tend to do the exact opposite, maybe in rebellion to our Catholic heritage, completely ignoring Mary. We talk about her once, maybe twice a year, on the third Sunday of Advent, and maybe if she's lucky, she gets mentioned at the empty tomb on Easter morning. But other than that, we don't give her much of a second thought. Even though it could be argued that she plays a larger role in the story of God's people than, say, Jonah or the Apostle Andrew, people that we frequently think about and teach to our children. But we don't think much about Mary. No matter where you fall in your comfort or discomfort with Mary, none of us can deny, though, the incredible act of courage it took for her to accept this chosen task. Just a little farther on in the Gospel of Luke, Elizabeth calls Mary blessed. But she's blessed not because she bore Jesus, but she's blessed because she believed that God would be true to his word. Elizabeth says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. Blessed is the one who believes in God's promise. Mary's greatest act wasn't carrying the Son of God, but it was believing that if God said that it would happen, that it would, and then acting on that faith. Mary saw that God was doing something incredible, and she heard God's call to participate in that work, and she took the first step, wherever that step might lead. The question for us today is, do we believe now that God is still at work? Will we say yes to the invitation to be a part of that work? Mary took a big risk in saying yes to God. there is risk for us as well. Consider the risk that comes with starting a ministry like an emergency shelter. There are so many unknowns and so many things that we have to fear about this kind of calling, about this kind of work. Understandable fears. It's understandable that we are afraid for our building, that our physical building, that this space that we know and love and care for so well might be damaged, that we might have things broken or even stolen from us. There's risk in that. We're afraid for our resources. Do we have enough to make this happen? If we say yes, will there be enough? Will we have enough heat, enough manpower, enough supplies? Will God provide enough? It's right to be afraid of the unknown. Who are these people that need help? What are their stories? Do we have room in our hearts to welcome them? It's right to be afraid of what comes next. If God asks us to do this and we say yes, what might God ask us to do next? There are lots of risks to following God, lots of risks to a ministry like this. Yet some of the most sacred callings come with the greatest risk. They come with the greatest reward as well. If we learn nothing else from Mary's story, let us learn that the risk she took allowed God to bring Jesus into this world to save us from ourselves. The question remains for us today: do we believe that God is still at work in this world? Will we say yes to the invitation to be a part of that work? It's an appropriate question for us to be wrestling with during this time of Advent, during this season where we struggle with the paradox of the already and the not yet. As Christians, we believe that God has already saved us, but that this work is not yet complete. We believe that the kingdom of God is upon us, but that this work is not finished. We believe that the Savior has come, and yet that he will come again. Central to this message of Advent is that we believe in what we cannot yet see. Hebrews tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. What a beautiful definition of faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. In this Advent season, we believe without a shadow of a doubt that God's promises are true, even if the world around us tells us elsewise. We trust that one day God will come and finish the work that he started, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That one day God's promises will be true. Do we believe that today? Do we trust in it? That if God calls us to something difficult, that he will provide all that we need in order to do it? That if God invites us to be a part of his work in this world, that he will not leave our side until that work is done? Today we gather as God's people, his favored ones, tasked with so many impossible things, and invited to be a part of such great work in this world. And I wonder how God might be calling you to share his love during this Advent season. Who in your life might need a little extra care and attention? What resources has God given you that you can share with those around you? Maybe God's calling you to reach out to an elderly neighbor, or to offer a calm presence to your friends, your coworkers, your classmates who are struggling during this difficult season. Maybe God's given you a little extra this year and wants you to share that blessing with somebody else. What is God inviting you to be a part of this year? Will you say yes to that invitation? I hear the angel Gabriel's words echoing through the ages, echoing for us here today. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. His word will be true. Remember, it's those who God favors the most that he invites to be a part of the most challenging things. There is so much work left to be done. So we close our time together this morning. I'd like to invite you to consider what God might be calling you to do this Advent season. And if you open up to the middle of your bulletin, right above the sermon notes, there's a box. And it says, I am favored by God indeed. God wants to do great things through me. There's a line that says, one of these things might be. There's some space. I invite you to take just a moment and to ask God what work he has for you to do. And then fill in the blank right now. One thing, big or small, that you could do between now and, let's say, Christmas to be a part of God's work in this world. And I'd invite you to consider if you would be willing to commit to doing that work, to saying yes to being a part of God's work in this world, a part of something bigger than yourself. If you can't think of anything, maybe your commitment could be to continue to pray and to be open to God's leading. But will you be a part of God's work? Will you say yes to his invitation to follow? As we end our time, I'd like to close together with some words, considering what it might be like if the angel Gabriel came to us and invited us to participate in his work, and how we might respond like Mary, saying that we are God's chosen servants. So I'd invite you to join me responsively. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you and intends to do great things through you. Yet you have found favor through God, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and guide you, work through you to care for this world and the people God loves so much. For nothing is impossible with God. Let us pray. God, that is our prayer, that you would help our hearts be ready to do whatever you ask us to do, to be faithful to your calling, to be bold and courageous, to be sensitive to the needs of this world, to follow wherever you lead. In your son's name we pray. Amen.